You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
Amen, amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles on this Labor Day weekend, would you open to Colossians, the third chapter? You do realize today is called Labor Sunday in our churches. In the early 1900s, the church decided to address the topic of labor before the annual Labor Day parades on Monday. So this year, Corey and I have chosen to again address the topic of labor from the perspective of a Christian. So if you have your Bibles with you, open to Colossians chapter 3. We're going to begin reading with verse 42 through the fourth chapter, verse 1. We have entitled this message, Worship While You Work. I don't know if any of you picked up a bulletin. How many have a bulletin? Do you see the bulletin? Is that cute or is that cute? All of us perhaps grew up watching that Disney fairy tale, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Did that little princess have it rough or did she have it rough? Queen ordered the huntsmen to take her out into the woods and end her life. Praise the Lord, they couldn't do it. So they brought back the heart of a pig to give to the queen so that she would believe that the young princess, Snow White, was dead. She stumbles in the wood upon a little cottage. Tiny, tiny furniture, tiny, tiny beds. She drew the conclusion that, wow, there must be a family of children without a mother. And with that joy in that little heart, she just decided she would be their mother. And she quickly went to work. And it wasn't long before the animals of the forest wanted to get in on what she was in on. Because anyone who had the joy that she had, wow, you just want to hang around folks like that. And the next thing you know, she was whistling while she worked. And the little creatures began to whistle while they worked. You know the rest of that movie. I am not suggesting that as Christians we should go to work and whistle all day long. And neither am I introducing to you a fairy tale when I suggest to you and I that we heed what Scripture says and that we worship while we work. Would you stand with me and open your Bibles to the third chapter of Colossians, beginning with verse 22. We're going to try to lay out some principles that we believe that you can apply to your life in whatever particular work you do as a calling from the Lord. Paul wrote these words, slaves, many translations say bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your slaves justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Father, add your blessings to the reading of this your word. It's in your precious son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just like to make a statement before we begin. I believe the Bible is going to teach that our work reflects the character of God. Now, I want you to look at that statement on the board. Our work reflects the character of God. You say, Brother Ricky, how can you make a statement like that? That my work, the job I do on a daily basis, reflects the character of God. We're going to go in great detail over the next few weeks when we introduce this new series, The Truth About You. But man, just as soon as we open the pages of our Bible, we meet a God who works. Amen? What's the first thing the Bible tells us about our God? He is a worker. He created the heavens and the earth. And then it begins to give us some statements about some of the things that he did. And then each time when God examines what he made, he says, it is good. And I don't know about you, but just reading those first chapters, those first paragraphs, you get the idea that there is a purpose to what he's doing in his work. He's creating, he's working for a purpose. And we ultimately get to that on day six, because on day six, for the first time, he creates two creatures that weren't created after their own kind, but they were created after his kind. And they were created to bear the image of God, a male and a female. And then when Genesis chapter 2 opens up, first thing Scripture teaches us of this entire planet that he had made, there was a special place on the planet that he made to put the man and the woman who was going to bear his image, reflect his character. And what's the first thing he told the man to do? Go to work. Wow. You know what he expected man to do? To work just like he. In our work, we reflect the character of God who also works. See, your work isn't about you. Your work is about him. Man, when he called Abraham's people to be his people and he gave them the law through Moses, remember the only commandment that he gave that really had a lot of commentary to it? You know, he didn't give a lot of commentary about thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. He just said, don't kill, don't steal, don't covet. But when it came to the seventh day, he gave us quite a bit of detail. He said, this day is to be holy. We're not to work on it. Why are we not to work on it? Because God didn't work on his seventh day. God worked for 6 days, got his work done, then he rested. You get this picture, right? He's telling Israel, you, when you get into the promised land, are going to reflect my character to the pagan nations around you by working 6 days, but then resting on the seventh, because you're going to do as I did. Do you see how our work reflects the character of God? Now, secondly, before we get to our text this morning, I want you to remember this too. We work because of our standard of life, not because of our standard of living. Did you hear that? We work because of our standard of life, not because of our standard of living. If you are working merely to raise your standard of living, you have missed the purpose of Christian work. Your work comes out of who you are, made in the image of God, to bear his image and reflect his character to those around you while you work. Amen? Is everybody ready? Colossians chapter 3. But I just got to point this out. You know that Brother Ricky does not like doing what I'm doing this morning, and that's just preaching on a topic, even though when we preach on a topic here at Hardin, we base the topic on the exegesis of the Word. But boy, sometimes it's easy to pull out scriptures and take them out of context. Now, I want you to notice this. Both in Ephesians chapters 5 and 6, and in Colossians chapter 3, Paul speaks about as Christians who are filled with the Spirit of the Lord, there is to be a mutual submissiveness in the church. And then he immediately goes into our home life, and he immediately goes into our work life. And what I want you to notice is this, that he first addresses husbands and wives, and he doesn't start with the husband telling the husband to love his wife like Christ loved the church, but he first tells the wife to what? Submit to your husband. See, ladies, if you're under the Spirit of the Lord and you're anointed by the Spirit of the Lord, here's what you're going to do. You're going to submit to your husband. When you're not, Don't try to talk about you and the Lord and you and the Holy Spirit and what a great Bible study you just had and how many ladies you're discipling. No. At that moment, well, I need to say no more. Then he tells us husbands to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And then he goes into children obeying their parents. See, he talks about home life. He talks about the husband-wife relationship, which is primary. Then he talks about the child-parent relationship, which is secondary. And then he immediately goes into talking about masters and servants, masters and slaves. Now you got to remember that in the biblical world, during the time of the Roman Empire, many of the Christians either were masters or they were bondservants. And so Paul addresses them under the same thought of being spirit-filled. And he puts this unit together. Husbands, wives, parents, children, master, slaves. Slaves made up the largest single group of people in the Roman Empire. 60 million people were slaves during this time in the Roman Empire. Yes, many of those slaves had been captured in war. They had been brought to Rome, and they were literally slave laborers. They were beaten, they were whipped, they were in chains, but not most. I'm not minimizing this, not saying it's right. Scripture's not saying it's right. Scripture's just saying here's how society was, and here's how God expected Christians to behave in a society where this is how life was. See, most of those slaves were not educated. Roman Empire didn't depend on their backs. The Roman Empire depended on their minds and their hands, and they educated them, and they were the doctors, they were the lawyers, they were the nannies, they were the administrative assistants of the farm. Wow. Now, in no way is it like it is today in America, but I do think we can take this principle and apply it to our principle. Because the slave force and the masters were the labor force of the Roman Empire. They drove the economy. And you know that Labor Day started right back in 1882, not on a Monday, but on a Tuesday, September 5th to be exact, because a group of workers in New York City decided to just walk out on their job and have a parade down the middle of the street because they just really didn't think they were valued as laborers and they wanted to draw attention to the value of labor. The organizers of that first Labor Day parade was afraid nobody would show up because it was not a national holiday and you were not going to get paid to march in the parade and, whoa, you could lose your job. But they did it anyway. They did it 2 years in a row. Then they moved it to a Monday, and it wasn't until 1896 that Grover Cleveland declared the first Monday in September as Labor Day. And in the early 1900s, I think around 1909, the church began to teach on what the Bible says about labor. Yet very few churches teach on labor. So this morning, we just want to take this opportunity to not just have a three-day weekend and not be sad that summer's over, but truly learn how to worship while we work. And we're going to take these principles and apply them to an employer-employee relationship. Is that fair? Now, I want to make sure we're clear. When I say Christians should worship while they work, I'm not meaning if you're a dentist, you go around singing, "Crown him with many crowns." If you're an electrician, you're not singing, "Send the light, send the light, send the light." I'm not saying if you're a professional fisherman, you're going to say, "Shall we gather at the river?" Now, maybe we should expect our politicians to sing "Standing on the Promises," Kenny. Amen. I'm not talking about if you're a meteorologist, you're telling us there will be showers of blessings. No, that's not what I'm talking about. See, sometimes if we're not careful, we associate worship with singing. Worship with verbally praising God. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and I working in such a way with our mind, our hands, our heart, that what we do sticks out to the point that it brings honor and glory to God. Wow. I really believe in this age of non-discrimination, human resource services should be calling the church first and saying, "Man, I just got to have another one of your members because your members are just different from anybody else I've ever hired." Amen? I mean, it ought to be one of the first things a company wants to know. You're a Christian. Wow, got to hire him. Not because he believes in Jesus as his Lord and Savior, the employer, but because, man, he has such a track record with Christians that worker productivity goes through the roof. Now, they'll never understand the secret, or perhaps they will. We just cannot imagine how society could be transformed if Christians worship while they worked. Everybody ready? Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 22 so you don't think I'm making this up. Principle number one is going to be this. As an employee, as a Christian employee, I will honor God by doing what I was hired to do. Can everybody just say that with me? As a Christian employee, I will honor God by doing what I was hired to do. Amen? Now, guys, let's read this. My Bible says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. I don't know how you can get around this. If you're hired to do something, you got to do what you're hired to do. Amen? Amen? I can't tell you how many people I know who hire in for a job, and yet they want to do something they're not hired to do. And it's like we put the responsibility on the person to hire us to have to keep reminding us of what we were hired to do. That should not happen. Our employer should never have to come to us to remind us of what we are supposed to be doing. When we hire in to do a job, we do the job that we were hired to do. Now, I want you to listen to this. Now, this is scriptural. Paul said, speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, obey in everything. You know how some of you don't like your children when you tell them to do something? You don't like them to say, why? Amen? Same word that you use for children obeying their parents is the same word used for employees obeying their employers, supervisors, managers, whatever you call it. Got it? Yes, you're a Christian, but your employer does not work for you. You work for him or her or them. And if we take the job, it's our responsibility to do the job. Now this next statement has nothing to do with if you're disabled and have a disability on the job. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about healthy people. If I know I can't do a job physically, emotionally, or because of my spiritual beliefs, I should not ever take the job. But if I take the job, I must do what I'm hired to do. Or at some point say respectfully, sir, did not realize I would not be able to do this job. And then I respectfully resign from the job if I can't do the job. Some of our lives are going to change in Marshall County here shortly. And for the first time, there's going to be some people who were hired to run cash registers, and they never dreamed their grocery store would be selling what's going to be sold soon. Yes, there's going to be a cost to some people. But as a Christian, we are told by God to do what we were hired to do. If that job changes and we can no longer do the job, then we must resign from the job. Our trust is not in our job. Our trust is in our God. I should say any questions, but I'm not going to ask that question. Number two. I will honor God as an employee, not only by doing what I was hired to do, but by doing my job with all my heart. Listen to what this says. Not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. This word sincere literally means to be singly focused. In our society, it's that picture of, did any of you ever drive down the road and see those big houses and all of a sudden you realize, well, they're not really a big house, it's a triplex or a duplex. All of a sudden you see one building, it's three different people living in that building and they're all three doing three different things. Well, here's what you got to imagine. When you and I go to work, we can't have a divided heart. Now, this is tough because life's tough. But when I'm hired to do a job, I got to do my job with all my heart while I'm there doing my job. And my heart can't be distracted. I can't go into work and wish I was fishing. I can't start the work week on Monday and be wishing it was Friday. I can't be at work and be wishing I was on vacation. I want to say something here that's really sensitive, but I mean it with all my heart. Some of us are going to have to start disconnecting so that we can connect on the job. Your boss shouldn't have to tell you to turn that cell phone off. If that cell phone causes your heart to be wanting to surf, you're not working in a way that's reflecting character of God. Guys, you know what it means to not have your heart in it, right? When we go to work, our heart's got to be in our work. Why? When your heart's not there, what's going to motivate you too? Here's what you got to know. If your heart's not in it, then your work is not going to reflect the character of God. And that's the reason you're there. See, you're not there to make enough money to pay the bills. You're not there to make a living. You are working because it's part of our life as a Christian. Why? Because this is the very nature of God. Now, please, if you're sitting here and you've been disabled and you can't, you know that's not what Brother Ricky's saying. But I'm talking about those of us who are healthy, mentally, spiritually, and psychologically. We do what we're hired to do, and we do it with all our heart. Amen? And then the third thing, it says, fearing the Lord. And then it goes on again to talk about the Lord. And some of us are saying, now, what in the world has this got to do with my work? Well, if you take this and put it with Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul's addressing the Ephesian church, here's what Scripture teaches. I will honor God as a Christian employee by not only doing what I was hired to do, doing it with all my heart, but I will respect my employer like I respect my Christ. Does that make sense? You say, Brother, you don't know my boss. I don't have to know your boss. You got to respect him. You got to respect her. Why? Because God's the one who ordained your job. And the reason God gave you the job was to reflect his character. Just as God has ordained government and we disagree with much of what our government is now doing, we must still respect our government and honor the laws of the land. As a Christian worker, I must respect. What does respect mean? It means I place high value on. I place high value on this person because he's given me an opportunity to take my skills, use them in a way where my work can be a reflection of the glory of God. Without him, I would not have that opportunity. Does that make sense? Now, fourthly, and this is crucial. Look at the last part of chapter 3. I will honor God as a Christian employee by one day knowing there will be a just payday. One of the biggest hindrances that we're suffering in our society today is this. Most of us do not believe we're paid enough for doing what we do. Now, I want to be on record as saying, that's not true of me. I've been telling y'all for years, you're overpaying me. You will not hurt my feelings if you cut my salary. You might hurt my wife's feelings, but you'll not hurt mine, okay? I say that in full sincerity. But many of us go to work and feel like we're being taken advantage of. My job's worth more than I'm being paid. And we have this tendency to drive by where our boss lives. And when we hear about his other home and his other home. And so here's what we decide to do. If he's just going to pay me $12 an hour, that's all he's going to get, $12. God help you. God help you. If I hire in for the job that I'm doing, and that's what I hire to do the job for, no complaints. Meaning, when I go to work, I don't give half effort and justify it because I'm not being paid what I think ought to be paid. I know this. My Bible says one day I'm going to stand before him, and because work was ordained by God, he's going to look at me, and he's going to reward me according to how it. Wow. Amen. Now, I'll be careful here. I don't want any of you hear that Brother Ricky said that I can't ever ask for a raise. You did not hear me say that. You did not hear me say you cannot ask your employer for better working conditions. You did not hear. I did not say any of that stuff. Don't you take this out of context. I'm just telling us, this is a principle I try to live my life by as pastor of this church. If I'm going to honor God, I got to do what I was hired to do. I got to do it with all my heart. And I got to respect my boss, which I guess technically is God, just like I respect God. And if there's ever a short changing down here, which there's not, it'll be made up there. Amen? Now, there's not much said about masters, because there wasn't as many masters in the church as there were bondservants in the church. But there were some masters. Now, let's close out with my responsibility as an employer. If you're here in Hardin Baptist Church and you employ people or you manage people or you supervise people, this applies to you, okay? Now, let's look and see what Scripture says. Turn back to Colossians chapter 4. Listen to this. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Here's what I will say to you if you're an employer. You need to treat your employees as God treats you. So when you get ready to deal with an employee, whether it's a pay raise, whether it's work hours, whether it's vacation, whether it's time off, whether it's whatever, your guide as a Christian is not what your competitor is doing down the road. It's how God's treating you. Now, Paul, when he wrote to the church at Ephesus, said this. I don't know if their masters are having a problem with threatening, but he said, don't threaten them. Don't threaten them. No. Employers, please listen to me. You can't always tell your employees why you can't give them a raise because you ain't making no money when you're trading cars every year. You're now living on the golf course. That ain't gonna work. Now, I think every one of us in here understand this. If we're the laborer, the employee will never live like the employer lives. Do we agree? Because the employer is taking a whole lot more risks and chances than we are. But here's what I will say to us Christians. It's us Christians that in our businesses do not have this gap between Wall Street and Main Street. It's because if I am a Christian businessman and I'm running a Christian business, I understand I need my workers. Because without my workers, my company will never be what it was intended to be. And I would never be what I was intended to be without God in my life. So I want to treat my employees like God treated. Does that make sense? Does that make sense, guys? Now, thirdly and in closing, Paul in Ephesians reminds the employers this. Their master and your master is the same master. Which means what? If you are an employer and you have a Christian who works for you, he or she is God's child. I'd be really careful how I treated God's child. Can you imagine how the workplace would change if Christian did what they were hired to do? Worked with all their heart, respected their company and their employer. And instead of letting it creep into their mind, yeah, maybe I'm coming up a little short, they realize, wow, I'm really working for God, not him, so God will take care of that on the day of judgment. And then on the other hand, we had masters who were Christians, and they were treating their employees how God treated them. And then every morning they got up and said, God, thank you that you're letting your daughter work for me. I'm also going to be honest with you. If I hired my son, or if I let you hire my son to come over your house and do a job, I expect you to treat him like Brother Ricky's son. You know what I mean by that? Treat him with the same respect you treat me. That's what God wants us Christian employers to do. Treat our employees like who they are. They're not just our laborer. They're our family member. And when we do this, we can bring honor and glory to God. Amen? It's the Christian and their work ethic who has made this country what it is. Let's do not, as Christians, be a part of a group who is so disgruntled and so critical that we also become the very ones who bring this country down. God knows how valuable we are, whether anyone else or not. So let's do what we do for the glory of God. Amen? Not just for the glory of our company or for the glory of our paycheck. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, boy, thank you for just letting us talk frankly to this church about the importance of labor. Father, Corey and I are so excited to start this new series next week called The Truth About You. And we're not talking about you, we're talking about us, the truth you tell us about us. And the more we get into how we have a creator God and how we've been designed, yes, some of that's going to go counterculture. But Father, we really believe this. And Father, I personally believe this. And I'm trying to tell people. Yes, it's getting worse out there, and the darkness is getting darker. But Father, the day's coming when the world is going to get tired of sin because sin's not going to give them what they're ultimately looking for. And if this church and other churches will just stay true to your word, they're going to come to us for answers. Marriages are going to come to us for answers. Company managers are going to come to some managers in this church to say, man, your company just runs better than mine. Tell me how you're operating your company. And we're going to have employers be able to say, well, here's the Christian principles I follow. And man, that non-believer that we work with who just can't get it together and do a good job, man, God, maybe you're going to use me to be able to put my arm around one day and say, look, buddy, here's what we're supposed to do. We hired in to do this job, so let's quit growling about this job and let's do it, and let's do it with all our heart. And let's trust our God that He's got a plan for us being here at this very moment. Now, if we realize He's not got a plan for us to be here, then let's do our job, but let's put a resume in and let's get the job we think He wants us to have. But until then, let's realize this, that work is not about our standard of living. It's about our standard of life. Life as Christian. Thank you, Father. Man, I want you to cause some workers to repent here that have been slacking off at work. Those workers that's been selfish and been doing this for their glory instead of your glory, I want you to convict them and I want them to repent. If we have any managers, supervisors, employers here this morning that are not running their company the way they should as a Christian, I want you to convict them and them starting tomorrow to begin to implement Christian principles so that the work of their workers can reflect the character of God. Father, thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.